Good afternoon, folks. This is Carolyn Evers. This is our time when we get together and touch one another. I telling you some interesting stories and you perhaps commenting on them. Calling in, let me know how you feel. What is it that I have said that perhaps has touched you in some special way? Or maybe you have a question about your Akashic records, a problem of some sort that you want more information about. Whatever it is, we are here again today at this special time to communicate, like the song says, to touch one another. Coming up with topics is always interesting, I think. And something that occurred to me today is, what's on the other side? Seems to be a curtain between what's over there and what's here. And we have different approaches of finding out if you're interested. Sometimes you want to know what's on the other side because a loved one has crossed over, a dear friend. Perhaps you've had dreams, and you wonder if what you're seeing a dream is something on the other side. It's kind of a mystery, because usually people don't come back and tell us what it's like. And most of the time, we can't really see around the bend. But sometimes we have some extraordinary messages where someone did come back in some fashion and tell us about the other side. And so today I thought I would talk about a book that I received from Julius Caesar. And you might say, wow, who's this lady that claims that she's got information from Julius Caesar? Well, in that life, a little over 2,000 years ago, he was my father. And it is why he came today to tell me about his story. And I think it's an interesting story because there is a little aspect of it that's different. I call the book that he had given me Conversations with Caesar, but in a sense, it is somewhat of our story where he came, he struggled, he made some right decisions, he made some wrong decisions. He crossed over, he suffered because of some of those decisions, but then he came to a point where he would ascend. So in a sense, this is the story of his life, death, and ascension. But rather than giving it that topic, I called it Conversations with Caesar because it is about our conversations. And in the first chapter, he talks about what it was like after he was assassinated. And he talks about how he accomplished his life's dreams. He became rich, perhaps the most famous general of all. But after the assassination, he says, he found himself in a world of despair. He was expecting to go to the world of, well, the gods. He says, it was a gray world. Not only what I saw was gray, but in my mind, it had become gray in its numbness. He said, it's a warning to those who would conquer others. This was not a state to be relished, but rather to be pitied. Caesar, the greatest man of his time, confined to a world of utter despair, and that he roamed there in that place for such a long time. He found himself in a land which we would have held in contempt had he lived, a land worse than any slave would have been relegated to, a land where suffering was so intense because it was a land of hopelessness. He says it was his due, because so many other souls suffered as a result of his actions and orders. And so he wanted to know this place where he was languishing. He called it a state of no life, He wanted to know what it was called, as he could communicate with higher beings, but he couldn't leave. They called it the Bardo. In a sense, after talking to him, I really thought that the Bardo could be compared to what religious dogma called purgatory. There wasn't flames. There wasn't devils. It was a place where all he could do was think about his life, the mistakes that he had made, the choices that were open to him. He called it a place where life was suspended. And he thought to himself how many other souls that he had sent to the Bardo because of his actions. And he says what hurt the most was he had his mind. He could observe everything. He could see into this world. He could see the energies, but he could not leave. He says, I suffer because I have my own thoughts, ones that I cannot forget. I have spent all this time thinking of my life when I was full of energy, living in a land where I had everything I wanted. He had everything, and now he has nothing but his memories. His memories fill him with dread. He lives in extreme punishment, yet no one hurts him, he says. I have only my memories. I relive every act I ever performed while on earth. No one punishes me except my own mind. It is my hell and my punishment. It's an interesting story because, well, to me, by the time he came and told me the story, it was like 2,000 years after he had been assassinated. So he was there, those 2,000 years, living his memories, learning what he did right, observing what he had done wrong. And yet, in this place, he could see into our world. He could see into the next dimension. Fascinatingly, there were always higher beings there to answer his questions. He could see energy from the sun coming to fill human beings' bodies. He could see the blood as it moved into people's bodies, the oxygen as it would oxygenate the blood. He could see the energy coming from the sun. So he was in a completely different perspective with eyes that we do not have. And I have a caller, and your name, caller?
Althea.
Althea?
Yes,
ma'am. Hi, Althea. What can we do for you today, dear?
Okay, there's a little bit of an echo. So let me say, we once talked about past life projection, and my Akasha was coming up, a past life pattern.
Yes.
And you asked me to open myself up to the vibrational wave and ask a question. Where do I meet these people?
Was this show or with Charlene?
No, it was with you.
Okay.
This was last month, and you said ask your heart and the universe this question.
Oh, okay.
And what I heard was everywhere.
Okay, now would you repeat again what the question was that you asked?
I had called you.
No, I know that, dear, but the question that you asked your when you went into your
said, open to my vibrational wave and ask,
yes,
where do I meet these people?
And these people were, see, I'm missing a little point here because I don't remember a month ago what we said to you, and so I'm trying to fill this in.
You were essentially saying that I was advancing spiritually and that I was out of vibration of my current friends.
Yes.
And to let them go in peace and love, and then to ask the next question to where I meet the people who are in my current vibration.
Uh-huh.
Or my vibrational wave.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat with that question when I heard the answer said everywhere, like there was no one particular location.
Well, that would be true because there are people living everywhere that's on a higher vibrational wave. What I have found when you're asking your higher mind questions like this, you have to be very precise and persistent. So you ask a general question, where are these people? And there was a general answer given everywhere. Mm-hmm. And what I have learned from very early on is how one phrases the question, you go from level to level. So let me ask you a question. Who are you looking for in particular? Someone to work with?
Oh, I see. We're talking exceptionally. I thought at the time I definitely want to ask that question, but I was looking for a place to live that was more in vibration of where I'm at now.
Okay, now, see how I asked you that question and you come back with another answer?
Correct.
So it's when you ask your higher mind a question, I have found that the answer that you get is an answer to the question that you asked and nothing more. And so you have to then make a progression because I work with this all the time. And you would think, okay, so you ask a question, you've opened the box, and now you should get all the answers that you want. And that's true to a certain extent. But you have to then go to the next question, just like I asked you that question and you had another question. It's a journey, and it takes a little bit of work with this to learn how to get the information you want, because the information...
It makes sense what you're saying. So the questions keep leading to questions, which keep leading to questions.
Exactly.
As you build a better understanding of what it really is, what's really behind your question.
Precisely. And it makes sense to keep a journal of the questions that you're asking and the answers that you're getting. And I find this all the time, not only with myself, but like with other healers. We're all seeing the same thing. I see it when people ask about their Akashic records.
Right.
You have to be so precise. And when you get one answer, in other words, the answer that you got was the truth, but it wasn't the answer you were looking for.
Right.
You were looking for something on a deeper level. Now, the reason for this is there are so many levels of truth. And it is like walking down a pair of steps or walking up. One answer leads to another. And it is because there are so many pathways along the way. There are so many roads that we could take. And usually spirit or the higher mind simply answers to the question that we asked. And it's almost like a skill that one learns.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like all roads lead to Rome.
Yes.
Yeah, you have context with your Caesar story.
Right. If you have a child and your child asks a question, and let's say for a moment this is a young child who maybe asks something about human sexuality. Well, you got a little child and you don't want to give a whole story about how a child is conceived, how a child is formed in the womb, the birth of the child, and how a child's being taken care of. So a child might ask a simple question, and you're going to answer that question in the very simple of manner. When they get to be maybe closer to their teens and they need more of an explanation and they ask that question again, you'll delve deeper into it because their question will be reworded a little bit differently.
And you don't really find out what's behind your question until you keep delving into more questions.
Exactly. You're almost like interrogating yourself. And I think the reason for that is because there is so much information that you could receive. They just answer the question in the most simple terms. So when you're asking a question, what you want to really do is go to the kernel of truth of what you're really after, because so you can see from that answer now, that was not really the deepest kernel of truth that you wanted to know, was it?
Right. Okay.
So let's reword that question a little. What is the very deepest kernel of truth that you are looking for with that question? And I'll help you out so that you can rephrase it a little bit differently.
Soul family.
What'd you say?
Soul family.
Okay, so let's write that. I'm writing that down. So you want to know about your soul family. Now, what is, and again, there is a deeper question to that. What do you want to know about your soul family? Why do you want to make a connection with your soul family?
I think for the exchange of like vibration.
Okay, you want to exchange like vibration, but would some of that be that you want to meet your soul family for information?
Yes, information.
For the sharing of information.
Sharing of information, connection. Direction comes out of that through that type of, you know, work.
Okay, now see, when you start asking these things and you get down to it, you're looking for a pathway, knowledge of perhaps where spirit is going to lead you. Perhaps, are you looking for mission here? What is your mission?
Not so much mission, because I'm open to it, to, like, for example, I don't think my mission is one thing only, just to be honest, just from my life pattern. I'm not like master of one thing, maybe jack of all trades. I get that kind of concept coming to me often. So it's not like, oh, let me find the one thing. You know, people try to find the one thing in their life they're meant to do. It isn't so much that. It's more of connecting with like-minded people and having that exchange of information where it's not like me talking to you about a laundry list of things that are happening with my life. Like, I fed the dog, you know, like,
okay.
Kind of, yeah.
You want to meet like-minded people who have, that you can exchange information with. This is still open-ended. You want to like-minded people exchange information, wanting direction in your life. Now, is there another kernel of truth beneath that?
Oh, it just keeps coming down to the connection. Just having that connection, a deep connection.
Now, what part of the country are you living in?
I'm in Colorado.
Okay, now, are you looking for people in Colorado, or are you looking for people, say, in the whole world, in the United States? Are you satisfied with living where you live?
I would like to live in a community of more like-minded people.
But in Colorado or another state?
It could be in Colorado. It doesn't have to be, you know.
Even here, you have to put parameters around this.
I see.
In other words, if you really don't want to move out of state, maybe because you have a job there, you've even got to be more specific. So you're looking for like-minded people, perhaps in Colorado, not too far from where you're currently living. Do you understand, see where
yes.
I'm taking you?
Mm-hmm.
You see, here's another aspect of this. We're really talking about manifesting. This is what we're really talking about. And when one manifests, they have to be very precise. And you've got to think about what you're really looking for. And so in this situation, if staying in Colorado is something that you would like to do, then you need to put that in your question, in Colorado.
Let me ask you this, because I'm so glad that you made the connection for me that this equals manifestation. This is what it's all about.
That's what it's all about, dear.
Okay, now, is this, okay, I have wanted to be by the beach like forever. And
yeah.
When I got an intuitional hit that I was moving, there was snow and deer, and it was in the like kind of a cabin type of home.
Yes.
And is there, how much of life is scripted? Like, you know, I mean, is there a place that one goes because you're meant to be there, or do you just go wherever you want to go?
Well, you know, I'm going to give you the proverbial answer. It depends.
Okay. I want to be very, very honest.
I'm being honest with you, darling, and I'm
being
back
honest with you. I am so good at manifestation that I have found that my will can manifest to a beautiful degree, but it's never long-lasting. It never has that extra sparkle to it. And, like, you know, I've recognized that there's another path kind of opening up for me, and even though I'm on it, I'm in it, I'm responsible for it, it kind of has its own energy.
Let me give you an example when I said it depends. I'm where I am because there is a vortex here. And I didn't know it at the time. I just knew I had to have this house. And so I'm here, and I found out later that I am here because of the vortex that's here, and it's very important to something that I'm going to have to do. So that's why I said it depends, because some people are in a place where they are for a reason like that. I know several people. They are there. They are living there because of the vortex that is there. And they're going to be doing work with that vortex because it has energy in it, and what they're going to be doing requires that energy. There are other people that are moving, and they are gravitating to places because energetically they are helping to keep that area stable with regards to earth changes.
Okay. Thank you for bringing that up, because here's the deal. I feel like I'm guided to move for whether it's for stabilizing an area. I don't necessarily think that, because I do that wherever I go. I mean, I get that part of my being.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a natural, works with the grid, smooths things out, you know, brings in peace, whatever. But I feel like the area I'm called to go to wasn't the beach, even though I would love to frolic and play. It really came down to, it's a place where my work, it needs to blossom.
Let's think of another question. See, you came on with this question about meeting like minds, and I asked you about mission, because I'm inclined to think that what's really behind this is mission. Mission in the sense that before you came into this world, that there is a possibility that you made an agreement or a plan with your soul to be in a specific place, to do a specific deed, and it has your idea of having all of these abilities with Master of None is not quite accurate in this sense. In this sense, that there are missions that require that we have a lot of different abilities and experience a lot of different places and things in our lives. So it could very well be that you have expanded yourself, you have learned all of these things to fulfill something else. So
Okay. Perhaps
the real question here is, this is certainly one of the questions. Did I make a plan before I came to Earth in this lifetime to move to a certain place and fulfill a certain promise that I made? In other words, that's bringing you into the place. Now, if you made the commitment to be in a certain place, you're going to be meeting these people of like minds who are supporting you. You see, it's not all about information per se, but it is about coming, meeting a group of like-minded people who would support what you have promised to do.
Okay, that's
the bigger picture.
Yes, because when you said that, when I said, no, I'm not meeting people in terms of, like, information exchange, I feel like I got that. It's all in me. It's more about, where is it going to bloom? Where does it need to bloom? Where does it need to happen?
And this is your real question.
Okay.
This, my darling, is your real question.
Yeah, and when you said it, I recognized that is the question.
Exactly.
And it is, and so yes, I did have a plan. I signed up for it. I agreed to be there. And now I need to ask that question and receive the answer.
Absolutely. You know, I have a joke. I have a little joke about this, and I say we come to this lifetime and we don't have an operational manual. They stick this operational manual in our back pocket, and we can't turn around and see what's written on it.
Yeah, until we form the question, and then it gets back to, you know, we get bits and glimpses of the page.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, I'm glad we had this little conversation because where I think you are at a place right now that you need to be moving into this next step, this next level. Now, keep in mind, also this happens. When we have made a commitment to meet other people who are going to support us, sometimes they are not ready.
Oh, thank you for telling me that.
Yeah, and so what you need to do when you sit down and do this meditation, you've got an idea of the kind of questions we're talking about. The next question that you need to come to, if you find out that there is a support group that you are to connect to, and I sort of feel like this is what this whole question is about. You need to ask, this support group that I am to meet, are they ready to meet me?
Ah. Okay, because my gut feeling says no.
And that could be the truth. You see, what's happening now is there are certain buttons being pressed in our consciousness.
Right, they're being knocked on. Their door's being knocked.
Yes, and we are in the process of moving to meet other individuals, but they might not be ready to meet us because they haven't fulfilled their expectations or they haven't grown to the point where they have accessed the information that they need to be sharing with you to support you.
Uh-huh.
And that's a very important part of the question. You need to ask that. What field are you in? It sounds like you must be doing some kind of spiritual work right now, are you?
No, I'm at home unemployed, but I have worked as a clairvoyant and I'm intuitive and, you know, been activated on many levels. I know I'm to write a book, a channeled book. I'm also writing my personal book of all my activations. And, you know, and I know there's more. It comes when it comes, right?
Right.
So I'm absolutely at peace at everything right now. But
that's
I
beautiful.
Sold all my furniture because I thought I was moving. And I got a feeling, like a gut-level feeling, that my group wasn't ready.
Okay.
And then I thought, and my husband turned around to me and said, well, let's buy some furniture.
That's so funny. So was he kind of sleeping on the floor?
No, I mean, and I didn't sell everything. I kept, like, all the things I really, really like. But, yeah, we're down to one table. You know, I mean, it's gutted. It's completely gutted. I prepped my home for the market. It's beautiful. And then my husband, when we got back from the gathering of meeting people I was guided to go, my husband lost his job, which turned out even better because he got three offers of amazing jobs. And so my husband said, take the move off the table. And I said, fine. So I have a feeling I'm waiting. And I'm not waiting.
You know,
I'm not going to wait for them. I'm going to go on with my life. But I had a feeling.
You need to go on with your life. You need to find out if you've made a commitment to meet a support group, and you need to know if that support group is ready yet.
Okay.
And then follow the questions from there. Yeah, I have a sense from what you're saying here is there's a possibility that this other support group isn't ready yet. Now, something comes to mind. You're talking about these books that you're going to be writing. Is there a possibility that this support group that you're talking about is going to help you make these books public?
They would. not only public, but the support, the energy, the vibration that they're to bring is to help bring this book into place. It's not a solo act. I mean, yes, I'm going to be typing it and all that.
Now, that's another question that you need to ask. That may or may not be true.
Okay.
The one that might be giving you the information might be from the spiritual side of life. Just like this book that I'm talking about, Conversations with Caesar, was a channeled work from Caesar himself. How do you know that this work that you're talking about isn't a channeled work from someone on the other side?
It is a channeled book. It is absolutely a channeled book, but what I was told was it had nothing to do with me.
Now, you said something that's very telling. What I was told. Who told you this?
When I was in my guidance system, I heard the book wasn't about me.
But that doesn't mean that somebody from the other side is not going to give you information on a book that is not about you. In other words, books don't always have to be about us.
Right.
You might be waiting. Here's another question.
Okay, I'm writing it down.
Are you to make contact with someone on the other side who is to give you this information for this book that you're talking about writing,
mm-hmm.
or a book?
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that?
Fine.
Well, I mean, you need to go into meditation and ask these questions.
Okay.
Because it might be someone on the other side that you have to invite in and be conscious of.
Got it.
Sometimes we have to prepare ourselves to make that contact with the other side and be open to it.
Yeah.
And if you ask that question, you're telling me that you're clairvoyant. If you ask that question, you'll get an answer.
Correct. Absolutely fine with that. You know, things that go bump in the night don't freak me out whatsoever. I never thought about the fact that I needed to invite him in, or him, her, or what it, you know, in, or this group of beings. I just thought they're just coming because I signed up for it and it's just time.
Well, they don't mess it. Now, Caesar came right in and made himself aware, and I didn't prepare for that. But I had prepared because I had opened another doorway. I had gone to Rome, and I had made connection with Julius Caesar there and the man that she loved. And so I was prepared mentally for that time and place, and I lived in that time and place.
Right.
And it was very easy for him then to come in because I had made that opening. As far
right.
as I was concerned, I was in that time and place. I was already writing a story.
How beautiful.
And it was. It was very beautiful, and it was easy for him to pop in and talk to me. But they don't, if you're close to that, they don't just tap you on the back and say, I'm here, we have work to do, we've made a promise before you came that we're going to do this. So you do have to prepare yourself, and one way that you could bring this into your awareness is to start meditating on that question.
Okay.
Because if you meditate on that question, that's going to start opening up your mind to the possibility. This is a planet of free will.
Yeah, you know, what you're doing is like, you know, what a mother would tell a child, well, if you want to ice skate, you know, you kind of got to go down and prepare for it. I get it. I now understand that there's a level of responsibility and fun on my part in terms of really bringing this in consciously by asking the questions and getting deep within the
That's
space.
Right, my darling.
Thank you so much. I mean, you answered an incredibly, it's like a leap of information. I get it. You know what, in 30 minutes, I'm so, so thankful for you, Carolyn. I hope you publish your book. I'd love to read about Caesar. I remember past life with Caesar, so I would definitely be into it.
Darling, the book is available.
Okay.
You love it. You can go there two ways, to my website at carolynevers.com, or you can go directly to Conversations with Caesar. And it is a remarkable book. What do you remember in that lifetime?
Actually, it was a really quick flash. I remember it was a city-state, and I was standing, I was a leader, and I was, you know, talking out of my whatever, and I just, that was a quick flash, and I went, wow, you know, and it doesn't surprise me whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole, you know, stand on the mountaintop kind of thing, whether it's a city-state or a mountain or whatever, I know that I've done it many a time.
Well, I think we've all done it, but if you're interested in that time period, you would love the book because he gives a lot of personal information, not only about his own life, but about the coming earth changes, about energy, what he sees in the horizon. And, of course, since I started work with him, and this is beautiful, you will love this, because Caesar was released from the Bardo because I, as his daughter, from that lifetime, forgave him.
Yes, you raised him up. Yes.
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 He could not leave the Bardo until Julia forgave him.
Yes, which is a reason why a lot of people come circling back in our lives. When you let them go, they have the energetic space to expand. I absolutely, when you go let go through forgiveness is what I'm saying. Yeah, yes, I understand that. I also get a sneaking feeling that this is past. Like the whole earth, this is past in terms of the light spectrum. This is past.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep getting that sneaky feeling just because so many times as a child, like I'd have these flashbacks of, or flash forwards of things that were going to happen, word for word conversations, and then I would sit in class and watch it all unfold. So my feeling has always been that this life experience, 2012, blah, 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 it's already happened. And we are here re-experiencing it.
Something else that you might enjoy is my website, www.the2012countdown.com.
Okay, I'll check it out. Yeah, but you laugh, so I know you're knowing this because that's why it's like there's no like, here, where do I need to be? Where do I need to go? Who do I need to work with? It's just I have that inner sense. Okay, come on, people.
Mm-hmm.
They're tapping me.
Yeah. Well, call me back later. Let me know how you're doing, darling.
Thank you, dear one. Take care.
You too.
Bye.
Bye. I just love when people call in and we have this conversation with one another. There's so much that we can learn from each other. And it is a beautiful thing because sometimes one word opens an awareness. We always knew that. It's not necessarily new information, but it helps us to integrate something, a truth, that we already held that truth, but it wasn't integrated. And it is that aha moment. And it is through conversing with someone who understands and who wants to help. And that's what all of this is about. That is what these connections that we make with one another when we talk on this Sunday show is, to connect, to touch one another, to bring in that awareness. And so we have another caller in your name.
Hi, Carolyn. It's Joy.
Hi, Joy.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm doing like you said. I'm calling with my question on this show, and I'll refresh your memory. What I would love to know from my Akashic Records is any past skills that I have with regards to activating a crystalline structure of my cells. Every time that you've talked about the temple in Atlantis, and I have also some vague memories of Lemuria and working with color, and then a very keen interest, I just light up anytime you've mentioned sacred geometry. I can't wait for your upcoming calls. And so what I'd like to know is if there are some cellular memories that I can activate so that I can best support myself to hold, you know, a higher vibration in my body.
Well, I hope that you've signed up for those sacred, those conference calls with Lord Metatron.
Absolutely. Yes, I've already done, yes.
For those of you out there who hear this and might not be familiar with it, Lord Metatron has just gone through a series of free conference calls on manifesting, and now he's going to be working on sacred geometry. And I'm, like you, Joy, I'm real excited to hear about what he has to say, because I never know what he's going to do until I actually sit down and take the information. And so I haven't done that yet, so it's going to be fascinating. Now, you're talking about cellular memory with regards to abilities that you want to activate, but it's not formed in a question that I can go to your Akashic Records and get an answer from. Let's put this in a different question, a different way of questioning this, something that is simple. Help me out with this, because it's too long of a statement, a question, and it's not smooth enough. Let's rephrase this a little.
Hello?
Let's have a simpler... I'm here. I want a simpler way of asking this question, more direct.
Okay. Please feel free to reword it or help me out. I love the work that you just did with the previous caller. That was fabulous.
Thank you.
And I have questions along the same exact topic as well, but this one is really burning up inside of me. Is this acceptable? Like, what piece of knowledge could I receive from my Akashic record that would be most useful to support my incorporation of higher frequencies in my body? That way we're looking for a piece of information.
Okay, you want to increase your vibrational, vibrations. Is that what all this is about?
Yeah, but I want it to be, like, I can feel in my aura, you know, I've been really making quantum leaps. And so I feel like I've got this really awesome energy more around me than in me. And I'd like to have support, kind of like scaffolding. I kind of see it like scaffolding, you know, for myself to really kind of get it more, to integrate. How about that as a word?
Well, that was what I was going to suggest. Is the question really, how do I integrate higher vibrations? How do I integrate the higher vibrations that are around me?
Good. Yes.
Would that work? Is
yes.
that really the question?
Yeah, because I want to, I've mentioned it before, and I know you talk to a lot of people, so I don't expect you to remember it at all, but I'm just saying one of my themes has been that as I spend a lot of time in these higher states of consciousness, of bliss and joy, at receiving these messages that I've been writing about, I find that my body is not, you know, I'm having, for example, this pooling in the legs, the fluid, et cetera, et cetera. There seems to be a little bit of cellular stress, and I wanted to, clearly, this is just a belief system and something I can choose out of, and so I'm looking for information or support to have a different experience and to have it be easier at a third dimensional level.
I admire the fact that that's what you want to do, but let me tell you this, Joy, from my own personal experiences, is that the physical body is slower on incorporating higher vibratory waves than the mind. So what you are doing is you are going through your mind, probably the alpha state or even deeper, and your mind is going on higher levels, and you are accessing higher levels of vibration. I understand that. I do that myself. But what happens is there is a lag time between the mind and the physical body. And from what you're telling me, as I hear you saying this, this is what you're going through right now.
Yes, and since I take responsibility and I know that I can create my own reality, the reality I'd like to create is to shorten that gap. I understand that the third dimension is slower.
And you may not be able to until the body is ready. We will find this out.
You see? Okay.
Let me explain something about this. When you're in the alpha state or higher, thought is much faster than what occurs in this dimensional level because the particles are compacted and compressed.
Yeah. It's lightning speed. Absolutely.
And so these are the two things that you're dealing with. You're dealing with the mind moving at, like you say, a lightning speed force, and I would agree with that. And then your soul is incorporated in a physical body that cannot move in that same quickened speed because the particles here are denser and more compacted. When you're in the alpha state or higher, those particles are spaced much further apart, and you can move faster. It's one of the reasons why the mind can do the things that it can do, because the structure is completely different. And so the body is feeling stress, because this happens to all of us. The body is feeling stress because, first of all, I'll tell you something that you might not have thought about. When you go to these higher levels, and especially if you are beyond this dimension and you get up into the higher states, I would say, of on the higher level of not the next dimension, but there is a stage when a soul dies. Let me put it to you another way. When a soul dies, their spirit goes up into a level that is right below the checkpoint where we would say souls are going to in the ascension process. Now, the body understands this. There are cells in the body that understands this, that in the very beginning they think you're dying. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get it. I get it, right.
Because
so, I guess what I wanted to do is just kind of like catch them up to speed, though. Again,
tell you how to do that, Dara.
Okay, go ahead.
We're talking about the high astral plane, and when you are in the high astral plane with your mind, in the body thinks that you're dying.
Oh.
Because they have experienced this before. The cells have memory, and the memories come in from the blueprint that is coming in. And so what you have to do is you have to have a talk with the cells in your body. First of all, you have to tell the cells in your body that you are here, you are supporting them, they are supporting you, and let them know that you are not dying, that this is an ability that you have to be able to reach higher levels, and you come back and you are not dying. So first of all, if that's in a meditative state, when you're in a meditation, go into the physical body and see how it feels. In other words, when you're feeling the distress in your legs, in your feet, in the swelling, go put your mind into your body and talk to those cells. There is an emotion that is surrounding those cells. Could be fear and anxiety of some sort. But do you know how to get into your body?
Well, why don't you tell me? I'm not sure.
Okay. Now you've got to go into meditation into a very calm, relaxed manner, and envision, the thing that people know the most about is the lungs moving, a lung filling up with air, or they're familiar with how the heart beats. Well, you take the mind and you go in and you observe that. You observe the heart beating, you observe the lungs filling up with air, and see if you get there, if you connect there, you're inside your body. Then once you do that, you know that you're inside of your body. With your mind, since we're talking about ankles and fluid, then take your consciousness and go down to your legs or your ankles, wherever this distress is. and you observe. Just observe. You are the observer. And what you are trying to observe there is emotion. And if you do this in a relaxed state, you are going to sense or feel some emotion. Could be fear. And so what you have to do then, whatever that emotion is, it must be a negative emotion of some sort, or your legs wouldn't be swelling. And then you bring in the light, and you turn that emotion over to the light. You are actually asking assistance from God to clear these emotions that is in your legs. And you talk to yourself that everything is in order, that everything is in divine order, that there's nothing to be frightened about. I suspect that when you go in and you really do that work, you're going to feel an emotion of fear surround in your legs.
The word that comes to me as I've been listening to you is resistance. There is some sort of a resistance, yeah? Which could be based in fear, absolutely.
Here's what I want you to do, Joy. I want you to spend some time and do that. Go in, find out what the fear is, find out what the resistance is. This is something that you have to help your body with, because your body now is in an area of new experiences. You see, this new experience of you going into the alpha state and you working with these things is a little intimidating to the physical body, simply because you are up there in other levels. And then the other thing that you have to do is, whenever you do your work, is to make sure that you come back and you connect with the earth. You've got to connect with the earth again, and I'm not sure that you do that enough. You come in and you go into Vihara, see your connection down to the core of the earth. And by the way, have you been on that website, Metatron Minutes, and seeing the protocol for working with Vihara?
Do you know what was so cool is that I don't do a lot of that, although I've started lately. But the point is that I figured it out on my own. I was kind of playing around with trying to remember some yoga poses, and it came to me. That's part of what I've been enjoying so much, is that information reveals itself. And then afterwards, you had mentioned it on a show, so it got me curious, and I went to look, and I'm like, oh, my God, that's what revealed itself to me just the other day. So
you've got to connect yourself to the core of the earth, and if you follow that Hara protocol and then look above, you can connect yourself with all there is, with Source.
Yes, I could do that more regularly. I kind of do it. I don't have a discipline about it.
Well,
you know?
You got to do it, darling. You're doing this work. You're going to have to help out your body. We're up here and we've got to get off of the air, but call in next week and let me know how you're doing, sweetie.
I will do that, and I can't wait for the email that tells me about the next Lord Metatron call. Thank you, Carolyn. Bye for now.
Bye-bye, darling.
Bye. Love you.
Love you, too.
Bye.
You know, it is so amazing how this hour goes by. Didn't really give you a chance to tell you much about Caesar and this remarkable book. It can, if you're interested, it can be found at CarolynEvers.com or Conversations with Caesar, either one. It is a remarkable book. And our website, the 2012countdown.com, check that. New information all the time being added. Our free conference calls, you can find those out at MetatronMinutes.com, also the free newsletter. Until next Sunday, this is Carolyn Evers, holding the place between you and the spiritual bridge into the next world. Goodbye for now.